Chapter 16. Presently, two men came by. You must pay 3 months' rent if you leave without notice. Give me a month. We can't live in that cottage. My father is in danger from the monster. My wife will never recover. Take back your tenement. Let me fly from this place. I never saw the family of De Lacy again. They had deserted me. I raged of anger. I destroyed the garden and danced with fury around the cottage. The moon nearly touched the western horizon. Its orb became hidden, and I waved my brand of fire. With a scream I fired the straw and heath and bushes which I had collected. The wind fanned the fire, and the cottage was enveloped by the flames, which clung to it and licked it with forked and destroying tongues. As soon as I was convinced that no assistance could save any part of the habitation, I quit the scene and sought refuge in the woods. The thought of you crossed my mind. I learned from your papers that you were my father, my creator, and to whom could I apply with more fitness than to you? You mentioned Geneva as your home, so towards this place I would go. I traveled in a southwesterly direction, with the sun as my only guide. I didn't know what towns I was to pass through, nor could I ask any man. Towards you I felt hatred. Unfeeling, heartless creator. But my only hope is with you, Father. From you I seek justice. My travels were long, and suffering intense. I traveled at night, rain and snow poured, rivers froze. The earth was hard, chill, and bare. I found no shelter. One morning, finding my way in a deep wood, I continued after sunrise. The day, one of the first of spring, cheered even me. I felt gentleness and pleasure revive within me. Forgetting my solitude and deformity, I dared to be happy. I continued to wind among the paths, until I came to the wood's boundary, which was skirted by a deep and rapid river, into which many of the trees bent their branches, which were filled with buds. I paused, I heard the sound of voices, and concealed myself under the shade of a cypress. A young girl came running towards the spot where I lay, laughing, as if she ran from someone in sport. She continued along the sides of the river, her foot slipped, and she fell into the rapid stream. I rushed from my hiding place and saved her. She was senseless. I tried to restore animation. I was interrupted by the approach of the person from whom she had playfully fled. On seeing me, he darted towards me, and tearing the girl from my arms, hastened towards the deeper wood. He saw me draw near, aimed a gun, and fired. I sank to the ground, they escaped into the wood. I writhed under the misery of the wound, which had shattered bone. Inflamed by pain, I vowed eternal hatred and vengeance to mankind. But the agony of my wound overcame me, and I fainted. For some weeks, I led a miserable life in the woods, trying to heal that wound. The ball had entered my shoulder, and might have remained there, or passed through. At any rate, I had no means of extracting it. After some weeks my wound healed, and I continued my journey. All joy was a mockery, insulting my desolate state, and making me feel I was not made for pleasure. In 2 months, I reached Geneva. It was evening when I arrived, and I retired to a hiding place among the fields that surround it. Sleep relieved me. Disturbed by the approach of a child, who came running into my hiding place. An idea seized me. This boy was unprejudiced, and had lived too short a time to have a horror of deformity. If I could educate him as my companion and friend, I should not be so desolate. I seized the boy as he passed, and drew him towards me. He placed his hands before his eyes, and uttered a shrill scream. He struggled violently. Let me go, monster. You wish to eat me and tear me to pieces. You are an ogre. Let me go, or I will tell my Papa Frankenstein. Boy, you will never see your father again. You must come with me. The child still struggled. I grasped his throat to silence him. In a moment, he lay dead, at my feet. My heart swelled with exultation and hellish triumph. I, too, can create despair and miseries. Something glittered on his breast. I took it. It was a portrait of a lovely woman. It softened and attracted me. I was deprived of the delights such beautiful creatures could give to a man. I left the spot where I had committed the murder and entered a barn which appeared to be empty. A woman slept on some straw. She was young and blooming in the loveliness of youth and health. I bent over her and said, "Awake, fairest, thy lover is near. My beloved, awake." Should she awake and see me and curse me and denounce the murderer? Not I, but she shall suffer for the murder I have committed. She shall atone. The crime had its source in her. I had learned to work mischief. I bent over her and placed the portrait securely in one of the folds of her dress. She moved again, and I fled. At length I wandered towards these mountains, and have ranged through their immense recesses, consumed by a burning passion, which you alone can gratify. We may not part until you have promised to comply with my request. I am alone and miserable. Man will not associate with me. But one as deformed and horrible as myself would not deny herself to me. My companion must be of the same species and have the same defects. This being, you must create. Make me a wife.